Hello, and welcome to The Wealthy Wealthy Life, the show about becoming wealthy without sacrificing your healthy. Each week, I interview a counter-cultural thought leader to bring you a unique millionaire mindset. I'm Christina Wise, best-selling author, millionaire coach, and your personal guide to money, health, and happiness. Today, I tackle health wealth with Dr. Anna Kabeka. Anna is one of the foremost functional medicine doctors in the world and a major part of my personal life-saving team when I found myself on my deathbed in 2013. At a young age, Anna was told that she'd just have to live the rest of her days with symptoms like depression, fatigue, hormone imbalance, weight gain, and more, that there was no cure for her, that it was all in her head. Not taking no for an answer, Anna traveled the world in search for answers. What she found drastically changed her life, and now she hopes to share what she's learned to help others struggling with the out-of-the-norm health issues. Her studies have led her to discover how to reclaim vitality without prescription drugs, restore a satisfying sexual relationship, and achieve total health and wellness. Anna's work has been featured in publications like NBC and The Huffington Post, and she now lectures all over the world on optimal health. And is one of the most inspiring voices in the health community. And like I said, my relationship with her goes even deeper as she was a huge factor in saving my life. And since, she's become one of my closest friends. I hope you'll find some life-changing health takeaways in this interview. Enjoy. This is part two of a two-part interview. So if you missed part one, be sure to check out last week's episode in order to catch up.
Our hormones need, you know, cholesterol, and so good cholesterol is a good thing. But let's talk about now, let's go down the hormones a little bit. If like infertility issues, let's say sort of, what are you looking at source-wise? Are you looking at, you know?
First and foremost, it's toxicity. So first thing I would do when a client came to my clinic would be to put them through a modified elimination diet. Let's just clean it up. Let's get the gut working and a detoxification program. And that for that reason, because our liver metabolizes our hormones. And it also is our filtering system, right? And has to deal with toxins that are being introduced through the same, very significant, the P450 enzyme pathways. And so very many drugs compete. And definitely phthalates from plastic bottles and, you know, pesticides and cosmetic ingredients, all of those are causing toxic, you know, a certain amount of toxic burden to our body. I mean, we can handle a little, but it's like layer after layer, year after year. I mean, it does create havoc. So that's the first thing, is to address the toxins, especially when it comes to infertility. I mean, I can't tell you in my program how many people did my 21-day detox and, you know, have like post-detox babies, we call them. And that's a beautiful thing because, you know, it does make a difference. It increases your body's natural ability to metabolize your own hormones safely and effectively. And that makes a huge difference. So that's a big part of it. And then just learning the right rules to the road. You know, I'm big on checking our urine to see if you're actually eating a healthy, nutritious diet, an alkalinizing diet. We're not talking about blood pH. We're talking about cellular pH, but by measuring our urine to see that our urinary pH is alkaline at 7 or better can make a huge difference in how you feel, how your body functions, and how your body metabolizes toxins as well as your own natural hormones.
So let's talk about progesterone is one of the mother hormones. What is progesterone mostly responsible for?
So in women, I mean, progesterone is a hormone in women and men, right? Mm-hmm. Men have progesterone too, a smaller amount than women. But progesterone is a hormone of, actually, if you think of the words progesterone, so progestation, to help pregnancy. That's where the root of that word came from, because it is the predominant hormone in our luteal phase when we're having our menstrual cycles. So all the initial research in looking at progesterone was really as part of our menstrual cycle and uterine, to stabilize the endometrium of the uterus, to improve pregnancy and fertility results, as well as to make sure we have enough progesterone on board so we don't get endometrial cancer from too much estrogen exposure and things like that. But what we find now is that there are progesterone receptors everywhere. I mean, there's progesterone receptors in the vagina. There's progesterone receptors in the brain, in the bone. Progesterone can help the bone as well. Bone growth, not estrogen, we talk about a lot, helps prevent bone loss, but progesterone can actually improve bone growth. So,
and then so DHEA.
One of my favorites. DHEA is one of the predominant hormones produced by the adrenal glands. So those glands that sit above our kidney. And if you think of our fight and flight section of our body, these adrenal glands would be part of that energetic component. And DHEA is a adrenal hormone that helps with, it's initially at our highest levels in our 20s and starts to decline mid to late 20s, 30s, and then down and farther down as we age. So where it functions very much like our other sex steroids, but in helping with the brain function, memory, helping with cardiovascular function and vascular health, blood vessel health. It's been shown to help with bones, to improve bone growth and maintenance, as well as breast. People with healthy DHEA levels have lower incidences of breast cancer. And it's a part of this intricate communication system with other hormones and are responsible to eventually convert downstream to testosterone and estrogen a little bit, much less to a degree when we're older. But also one of the things that we found out, again, the focus in the past has always been on estrogen because we had a lot of research starting in the 50s with the estrogen pill solution for menopause for women, and then found out that, well, estrogen alone increased the risk of endometrial cancer. So hence in came progesterone. Well, progesterone's bioidentical can't be patented. So it was manipulated to make Provera, which was patentable, but unfortunately is not progesterone and has negative cardiovascular side effects. So hence the HERS trial, the Women's Health Initiative study, the fear of using hormones and all that craziness that went on in the past few decades. So bioidentical progesterone being very, very beneficial. So when it comes to sexual health, DHEA is a really important part of sexual health and libido. And as you know, research using it vaginally has improved, especially in menopause, vaginal dryness and incontinence symptoms. And when you consider the primary, I think it's the number one reason that couples, women or men, will put a parent into a nursing home is because of incontinence issues. We got to get to the bottom of this right now. Incontinence and memory issues, right? But they become very difficult to manage when there's incontinence issues. And this is true for men and women. But if we can start using, helping our aging parts, is when it comes to our feminine bits, that's my expertise. We start helping those aging parts regain their muscle and the control of everything, control of urine, et cetera. We prevent that from happening, and we can do that. I created a product called Jolva, which addresses exactly that, to be used topically on the vulva as a cosmetic anti-aging formula, helping with moisture for sure, and just improving the integrity of that area makes a big difference. And so DHEA has many great uses. And of course, my area of focus, I want to make sure we address those feminine bits, come back to the woman, and make sure that we're really optimized in all parts of our body and life.
Yeah, and I want to talk more about that in a second. So then we're looking at testosterone and estrogen, and both women and men have both. But talk about the balance of either of both of those in either sex.
Yeah, so with estrogen, we know that's our feminizing hormone. It's also very important for a healthy, happy mood and kind of even keel levelness. It's important for our cardiovascular health as well. Once we go into menopause and losing estrogen, we lose the healthy blood vessels or neovascularization benefits that we get with estrogen. So that's part of where why we catch up to men with heart disease in the menopause. So estrogen is a beautiful, important for our mood, our cell membrane, certainly part of sexual health, and is in both men and women. Testosterone converts to estrogen. So men who are converting too much to estrogen will notice, we call them moobs, man boobs, and we need to reverse that by keeping testosterone free. And I definitely teach that in some of my programs as well. But so testosterone, a female and male hormone, is really one of the best hormones for building muscle, building brain, and just producing it ourselves. Men, young men right now are having low testosterone levels as well as women. And I think it comes down to the toxicity, again, the hormone disruptors or other non-hormones competing for our hormone receptor sites. And that creates a lot of muscle loss, infertility, hypogonadism, mood disorders, depression. We see that all in cases of low testosterone.
And you talked about depression and these different things. So where does our hormones being out of balance, male or female, turn into feelings of depression or just like this constant gray mood or even anxiety for that matter? But what's happening? Some fatigue. But are these symptoms to start looking? I mean, look, like one of the first tests might be hormone testing before just popping the antidepressant.
Oh, absolutely. If there's a symptom of depression, you definitely want to look at your hormones. Anxiety, depression, especially where women are concerned. Heart palpitations, another one in the menopause. That's hormones, not, a cardiac ablation most of the time. So let's look at the underlying reasons why hormonal balance is key. And that's a good question. Like, what makes a hormone out of balance and what causes that? I mean, that's a really that's fascinating area. And I, can only guess, as these are energetic molecules, and again, cannot test them completely. And I do test. I mean, I've looked, right? Blood, urine, saliva, I mean, name it, every body fluid is worth investigating. And we can look at our hormones in every single one of those body fluids. You may not have realized that for our listeners, but it's true. So that will give you the broad spectrum of what they're doing, not just whether we have a uterus or don't have a uterus or whatever the situation is. So now I diverged and I got distracted. And what was your question? Hormones out of balance. So how do, several things will get them out of balance. Being sleepless, running stress, like we talked about the cortisol issue with too much stress, perceived or real stress. Post-traumatic stress will throw us out. Toxic environment. What's the space we're living in? What are we putting on our skin? What are we exposed to? All of those things affect our hormones and will throw them off balance. And depending on your genetics, depending on your gut health, depending on your cellular health, will determine what they get metabolized into, either good or bad. And it's amazing. And that's the epigenetic part of our hormone metabolism and our hormone system. So super cool. So that by influencing those things, by influencing our environment and our lifestyle, we can recreate that hormone balance, start living by design and not try to, hack our design.
Yeah. And I think what I wish to convey through some of this is that, again, sort of that normal thing that's happening out there is maybe we go to our therapist or we go to our GP, just our, normal doctor, whoever it is, but I don't even know who can prescribe antidepressants these days. But maybe, it's conversation. I'm just not feeling like myself. I'm stuck in a funk. I just can't get out of it. And the first thing versus trying to get underneath, it's just like, okay, here's the Prozac or whatever. And then there maybe becomes a long-term dependency, either psychological or physical, to this drug that's never meant to address the symptom. It's just meant to make us, quote unquote, feel better. But it could be just something as simple, not that hormones are simple, but it could be just something as simple as, hey, the hormones are out of balance. Let's check them and we can do some adjustments. So if you're doing testing with them, what are some things that you're noticing with the hormones, where they're off? And then what might you prescribe differently than say, here's the Prozac when you notice that the hormones are out of balance?
Yeah. So that's a perfect question. And also would lead us to, mention a very important pro-hormone that's very involved with our DHEA, progesterone, oxytocin, and that is vitamin D. And also people with low vitamins, like you said, an easy thing for people who come in with depression, if they have low vitamin D, the answer is get outside. I mean, get outside, get some sun exposure, allow your body to absorb it. I mean, we get a lot more than vitamin D from the sun. Maybe they're sitting at a computer screen under UV lights all day. It's like, well, that will kill you. And it slowly is, you know, so you have to make some tough choices and tough changes. And so that's where when I do, so when a client would come to me and it's very exactly what I did with you, I go through my seven assessment system. So for every one of my keys, I have an assessment plan. So it starts with, you know, someone's coming in with feelings of fatigue and depression and aches and pains or irregular cycles. First thing I do is modified elimination diet, 21 day detox. It's available free online at my website now. So let's start there. Clean it up. It's in your hands. And then I would do testing. Let's get some blood work done and figure this out. And I'm going to measure your total and free testosterone, your progesterone, your estrogens, total estrogens, estradiol, estrone, estriol, might look at them all. And I'm going to look at DHEAS because I'm going to do a quick analysis in your blood and a vitamin D25 hydroxy. I'm going to look at your routine labs plus a hemoglobin A1C and a C-reactive protein. Those are my core, got to have it, blood test for an initial assessment. And of course, it would depend if a menstruating woman, where they are on their menstrual cycle and different timings for that as needed. But that would, and thyroid, TSH. Thyroid is certainly a reason for depression. And I would look at a full thyroid panel. So it's not just a TSH, it's a free T3, free T4, thyroid antibodies, because there could be immune issues going on. And start there. And that's kind of getting that picture. And then it's a full 7 key assessment, like healthy mind for a healthy body. Okay, what needs to happen in the mental atmosphere? Number 2, nutrition and exercise. What's the assessment there and what's the plan? 3 is digestion, because no matter how good we eat, if we're not digesting it well, we're not getting what we need out of it. So what needs to be addressed there? The 4th key is detoxification. And detoxification is a really big part of, like I've emphasized, of healthy hormone balance. Number 5 is hormones. So what healthy hormones in balance is good. Hormones out of balance is bad. So what needs to be addressed with our hormones? And then number 6 is sexual health. And number 7 is inflammation in the environment. So those 7 assessment points, and for our listeners, write each of those down and kind of trigger out what could be a block, what could be a chain, what could be an obstacle for a healthy, optimal, positive, joyful mental atmosphere, you know, and then assess these other 7 aspects yourself. Do you be your best detective? That's where you're going to get the best results, because it's in your sphere of knowledge, of body knowledge, where you can identify these issues and start to make the right next step for a positive change.
So let's say you do a full hormone panel and you're noticing things are way off here. So what happens next? As you look at this and say, okay, here's Prozac, or what might be a semi normal situation?
So like as part of my practice, you know, what I did, I created solutions from my own journey. So typically the first thing is, number 1, I want them to get that detox done. So I'd be putting them on my keto alkaline protein shake, a 0-gram sugar, high protein, healthy vegan formula shake, and start with that because I know they're going to get amino acids that they need to affect their neurotransmitters and their hormones in an easy, digestible form. And so I have that available. I add detoxification support because we're all toxic. And I think it's a good idea to at least do some additional detox support every 3 to 4 months. And so that's a bottle of detox, pure detox caps that I have. And then fish oils, how important it is to improve your fish oil. So whether from the healthy fish choices, I'm a big fan of raw oysters. I'm in Southeast Georgia. We've got great raw oysters. And DHA is really well absorbed from oysters. So I would say that's a great way to start. And if not, we need to add some additional omega-3 fatty acids. Pretty much when I've looked at blood levels, and I'm wondering how many listeners have ever had their blood levels of omega-3 fatty acids checked. I'm guessing, you know, a handful, if that. But that's an important number to look at. I looked at all in all my infertility patients and all my cancer patients. I looked at those numbers because that would guide me in their therapeutic outcome and really can improve it quickly. So that's key. And then, you know, grains, alkalinizing grains. So that's where Mighty Maca Plus came in, my greens formula plus a lot more. And just to start alkalinizing their body and getting more greens on board, checking their urine pH and starting with that. And the next step, progesterone, when I would typically addressing woman's hormone imbalance, let's start with the mother hormone, start with progesterone. So I created my hormone, progesterone, and pregnenolone cream, a topical cream that can be applied to thin skin very safely throughout the body, and just start with that little regimen. And then typically, again, another precursor to our testosterone and estrogen is DHEA. So adding DHEA, and now we do it in a cream versus a pill to bypass liver metabolism, and they created that too to help give that in the most bioavailable way that's safe for women without any other toxic ingredients in it, and for men too, frankly. But the problem is none of these solutions, I mean, it's hard to find these solutions, and it's hard to find it in a really neat and organized way to make it simple to incorporate into your life. But that's kind of what I found makes the biggest bang. And then addressing from there, fine tuning a hormone prescription through a compounding pharmacy in a form that makes it easy to use, whether it's testosterone pellets or troches, which dissolve between your cheek and gum, which I love that form because then I can get a quick assessment in the blood versus in salivary testing. But then I'll also sometimes do urinary hormone testing. Again, we want to look at what it's doing, and each body fluid will tell us a little bit of the story.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. So on that note, just going back to what you call the mafia medicine or whatever, another thing just to put out there is that compounding pharmacies are really fighting for survival right now because there's a lot of pressure from the pharmaceutical industry to put these guys out of business. And so, I mean, I get my bioidentical hormones from my little compounding pharmacy, and I send a lot of business there. But real quick, this is a little outside the context of our conversation, but I think it's really important in the education process. So real quick, what is, for many of our listeners that maybe have never even heard of a compounding pharmacy, what is the difference between your local Walgreens and a compounding pharmacy? And again, why is Mafia Medicine Pharmaceutical America trying to put these guys out of business?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question because more harm has been done by our prescription medications than by any compounding medication 100 times over. So, because it does, you know, if we can get compounded estrogen, progesterone, for example, for $30 versus, you know, a pharmacy prescription, for like $130, people are going to diverge and get their bioidentical compounded. And the reason that compounders are challenged is they are using non-patentable ingredients for the most part. Sometimes they're using some pharmacologic ingredients as well in their compounding, but the goal is to make it specific for the individual. So like I can have, you know, easily in one day have seen 15 clients and they come in with the same problem. They would each go out with an individual prescription versus, you know,
one size fits all.
Yeah. One size fits all drug form that was created for the purpose of mass production and mass treatment. Now, I'm not saying it's all bad, not at all, but compounding it helps you, the individual, additionally, because there are some bioidentical estrogens and bioidentical progesterone in very specific dosages. Sometimes you need a little bit more, sometimes you need a little bit less, and you just can't do that with a pill or a patch. So having it compounded and having a good relationship with your compounding pharmacy, what I would work with my clients to do would be in certain times we need to increase the dose a little bit, we need to decrease the dose a little bit, and that's without having to toss out a whole nother prescription and get a new one filled at a premium. So compounding pharmacies are fighting for their life, and they do a lot of good work. But if the big pharmaceutical companies could figure out a way to patent bioidenticals, they would be doing it. Believe me. But at least the intelligence of our system has not allowed that to happen, because then your $30 prescription then becomes $200 prescription.
Wow. And so you get a more, let's say, pharmaceutical, traditional medication, good Walgreens, it's the same one that the other 20 people standing in line got, versus compounding. You, the doctor, might be calling the compounding pharmacy or giving them specific ingredients to kind of mash together or compound together to make a very specific design for that body. And then you can adjust it and say, oh, well, you know, we have too much progesterone or something's off here, so let's reduce this. But you're actually working as a doctor with a pharmacy, with the compounding pharmacy, to find the right solution for that individual.
Yeah. And plus we can adjust the ingredients. We can put more than one ingredient in it, and we can take out an ingredient that doesn't suit someone. We can change the base of that ingredient to something that gets better absorbed or digested, depending on what it is. So we have a lot of ability to customize that. Veterinary medicine uses tons of compounds. Veterinary medicine is pretty darn advanced, I'm telling you. So, but they use tons of compounding and topical formulas. And really, we need to use more topical formulas so that we can preserve our liver and our detox mechanisms. So compoundings are really great at that. But ultimately, it allows me, and the reason I prefer it hands down is because it does allow me to customize and also get the client on board to really become aware of what they're using, when they're using it, how they're using it, and how it affects them, and to also identify signs when they need more or less. And so we can be on the lowest effective dose of something versus one size fits all. This is your dose until we see you back in a year.
That's great. Well, I'd encourage anyone listening to find their local compounding pharmacy and be a patron, like to really seek these guys out. They have all the other stuff too. So, I mean, if you need ibuprofen, that you can probably still get it, even though they might probably will suggest some serrapeptase instead, and really encourage, you know, obviously these guys are more holistic in nature by virtue of, so they're going to have, you can talk to them and say, hey, what might be an alternative for ibuprofen or acetaminophen, because I don't want to kill my liver or whatever.
Yeah. And when it comes to sexual health, I mean, that's where I really gained skill, was working with my compounding pharmacist to make formulas that work either vulvar topically or vaginally that really help heal and recover the delicate tissue of our pelvic floor. So it makes a huge difference. And there's no prescriptions available that come close to what we can compound, especially in the area of sexual health. I mean, even fun stuff. I mean, we could compound a combination of Viagra and some L-arginine and some other stuff to be like your little orgasm booster. I mean, there's a lot that we have fun with too in compounding.
That's perfect. That's a perfect segue. So that's the other thing I wanted to talk about today. So I think we've given a little, you know, basic hormone education 101. So thank you for that. But let's talk at your other specialty, sort of in this genre, especially sexual hormones is your specialty, but sex is too. And you even have a course for couples called Sexual CPR. And so let's talk a little bit in the context of aging, maybe perimenopause, menopause, and sex. Like, one, what's happening with the hormones is throwing this off. And then two, what's some sexual CPR advice for, you know, women and men or couples that have been married a long time and are aging and just kind of losing their mojo?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of my whole program, Sexual CPR, was really divinely inspired. I mean, I don't hesitate to say that. And it does come from my experience personally and professionally. And there are a lot of medical guidance that I incorporate into that program. And I always do, you know, do the little fun caveat that I am not a relationship or technique expert. So I did bring in some experts for that. those aspects. But when we understand what's happening with our physiology, where stress and trauma have come into our life, or, you know, again, I have 7 keys for sexual CPR. So let's kind of discover, you know, uncover areas of resistance to fully blossoming in our sexual health so that we can be intimate with our spouse in a way that we were designed seeking pleasure, receiving pleasure. And that's for the rest, doesn't matter how old we are. And when I see couples, even in their 70s and beyond, and that one, I think my oldest lady was 82 or 83, just kind of restore that twinkle in their eyes, you know, that smile, that spark. I mean, that's just beautiful. Reigniting that relationship, there's nothing better than that. We can have all the physical health we want, but without that connection to another person at that deep soul level, that is fun and pleasurable. I mean, that's what life is worth living for. I mean, ultimately, that's what I want. That's what I'm trying to reverse engineer here with all my training solutions and programs. So with that, sexual CPR, you know, was born of that desire to really address the underlying issues. And women, as we're getting older, oftentimes we start with vaginal dryness issues. And I always tell clients, if you have pain every time you have sex, why the heck would you want to have sex, right? And it's not just there during, it's like a discharge after, or burning after, or urinary tract infection after, or, you know, further things are dealing with lack of confidence in our body because things don't feel right or look the same, and the self-conscious issues. So we address those too. And so restoring our pelvic health and hormonal balance is a big part of that. Also understanding that women and men approach the reward of sexual intimacy, or respond to the reward of sexual intimacy different. We have two different goals going in, and that's what I teach in my Help Doctor, My Sex Drive Has No Pulse. So I encourage your listeners to check that out as well. You know, so that's part of kind of going into this discovery, and that was part of helping with solutions such as getting our energy back naturally, getting our hormones balanced naturally, you know, restoring our vaginal anatomy and our vulvar anatomy so that we have moisture, we have pleasure, we have function, we don't have the numbness or loss of normal secretions that come with hormone imbalance and natural aging process, that we can fix those things. And that just transforms. It really does.
And so what are some solutions? I know you have your sexual CPR program, you have your Jolva cream, but give the listeners a few tips basically.
Yeah. So, well, one thing is really kind of getting to, I would say, the ABCs of sexual CPR, and we're talking about that, is one, accept where you are right now. I mean, just fully confident, embrace it, and just own it. Own where you are right now, you know, and focus on the positive. And B is be present. And that's part of being intimate, is that we as women will like go down a rabbit hole or a to-do list, and it's like not where you want to be during intimacy. So be present is another thing. And C is communication, is really being able to communicate with your spouse in a very open, honest, loving way. And that adds to it. The other things is really kind of reawakening your neuroanatomy, your pleasure centers. And so in sexual CPR, we go through a practice called orgasmic meditation and teach that, because that's a really special practice and a way to connect non-sex. Well, it's a sexual practice, but it's not sex. So it's very safe, especially if you're dealing with vaginal dryness, especially if he has erectile dysfunction issues, or you just kind of reacquainting yourself with each other at this stage of your life. And it's a beautiful practice to kind of start opening up those sensory centers, those pleasure centers again. And so that's part of it.
And what, I mean, as simply and as quickly as possible, what is changing hormone-wise as we age, as we reach, as women, perimenopause, menopause, that really does change into somewhat of a lack of sex drive? We're starting to lose sort of that type of sexual energy and vitality. One, what's happening, men and women for that matter. So simplify that. And then two, you know, what do you recommend to, on the more physical side, as far as to address some of these things that are happening that are producing the dryness or just the lack of desire or whatever?
Yeah, well, gosh, many things. So for both men and women, hormones decline. For women, specifically progesterone in our mid-30s with estrogen, testosterone, DHEA, they all decline. Same with men. Big declines of testosterone and DHEA and an increase in estrogen as they're aging. So nutrition and exercise are key components to healthy hormones and lubrication, vaginal function, erectile function. That's really key. So healthy, like my keto alkaline nutrition plan. So that's healthy fats, healthy protein, low carbs, but really good healthy oils and alkalinizing vegetables. I mean, check your pH. We did this at your beautiful retreat at your weekend education series. I made all your guests check their urine pH and ketones to see if there, anyone was keto alkaline there.
That was really fun. Everybody is walking around with their sticks. Anna, look at my stick.
It was hysterical. I know. That was so funny. So little things like that can make a big difference. And that's improving cellular health, cell-to-health cell communication. Probiotics, because again, with vaginal health, we need healthy probiotics on board. So that's mandatory. And those are a few things I do. There's certainly some of my favorite power foods like oysters and sushi, seaweed type things, and salmon and wild cod, of course. And, you know, coconut oil for sure as a lubricant also to cook with. Use separate bottles. We don't want to cross-pollinate. And also other thing that couples do that they don't realize and women do that they don't realize, especially if they're dealing with issues of incontinence or leaking or, you know, or pads. Pads can be really toxic. Use organic. Try to avoid using tampons. And over-the-counter lubricants are really gross. So I have a video that's my do-it-yourself lubricant, because use plenty of healthy lubricant. This is, you can make your own lubricant with stuff that's in your cupboard. That's awesome. Tastes good, smells good, you know, feels good. And we want that instead of some gross, I mean, I've spent hours looking at lubricant ingredients now, and I'm really appalled. And our vaginal area is very delicate and very vascular, meaning it will suck up what you put in it, right? And we don't want all those chemicals. I mean, I've seen aspartame and, you know, aspartame in some. I'm like, give me a break, really? Yes. So all those beautiful, so all those things can be helpful.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, we're bumping up against the end of our time together. You and I, obviously, we could talk forever and go down lots of different rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. And I have so much to ask you, but anyway. Well, one more thing, sort of in the same genre, is energy. Is that as we age, I know a lot of people I talk to, they're just like, Christina, I'm just stressed out, back to back. I just feel like I just can't get, I'm just always low of energy. I'm tired, but I can't sleep, or I wake up. And it's almost like we're prisoners in our own body of where we just don't have the vitality. We don't have the energy. Our sexual energy is really starting to dissipate. We're losing that vitality of life, our purpose. So again, is this the same advice that we've been talking about across the board? Like, we improve our hormones to get those balanced, and we detoxify and really go through that process, and we really get our exercise and a healthy diet intact. And it's not simple, but is it really as simple as that? And then that affects our mitochondria and our cellular health. And then I guess the question maybe I'm asking is this whole feeling of lack of well-being, is it reversible?
Absolutely. 100% reversible. And I think that's one of the biggest myths, is that you need something else to attain it, right? It really does come from within, doing the things that honor your body, honor your physiology, so that will make a difference. So I would say that, when it comes to getting energy, you have tremendous ability to restore energy, doing it healthfully by filling your tank and staying nurtured and holding clear boundaries. But everything we said, healthy hormone balance, yeah, certainly a little bit of extra progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, that definitely will help. But also getting a good night's sleep, going for a jog or a long walk on the beach or a hike out in nature, getting the sun's rays, getting keto alkaline, following the keto alkaline principles. I've blogged about that. I continue to blog about that because it's just so important, and test, don't guess. I mean, if you're not feeling right, there's something that can be done about it. And I guarantee you, it does not need to be an operation or a prescription drug, for sure.
That's great. And as we age, this doesn't just come with the territory.
Don't accept it as the territory. Absolutely do not accept it as the territory. I've been looking at these, studying centenarians and blue zones. And first of all, retirement is not a biblical principle. And so there must be a reason, right? And so I find that to be very rewarding, especially looking at a lot of these centenarians. I mean, they have a purposeful life at 100. Right? And joy, you know, where does joy come from? Where does partnership come from? Where does community come from? And they all play a big role in a healthy quality of life. And so creating a healthy internal atmosphere will affect everything else around you. And there's no age limit. You know, every listener knows there's a child inside of them who just loves to play, get out and laugh, right? And so use that as a force to improve your physical body as well, and do the things that continue to push, you know, and challenge you. And accept those challenges, bring them on with yourself, but better start a small group or community to do it with.
That's awesome.
Create your own blue zone.
I love that. That's perfect. All right. Well, one final question. You already pretty much just said this in answering the last question, but so it may be the same answer or maybe a different one, but I ask all my guests at the end of the episode is a myth. So obviously you're bumping up against all kinds of myths in, you know, your work, but is there something that you just see happening over and over again, and like one myth you really want to bust?
Yeah, the quote that I guess I have to accept this for my age, and that is absolutely a myth, 100% a myth. You do not have to accept anything for your age. Your age is just, you know, a mark in time, right? It is not identifying your life force. And so don't accept it, absolutely.
That's awesome. All right, Anna, I will be putting in the show notes every place to find you, all of your different products, your programs, and obviously, I love you. You have made the biggest difference in my life. And it's funny, just listening to you give all this advice is like, yep, she did that with me. Yep, she did that with me. You know, yep, I went through that. Everything you talk about, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I went through all that. So you're a healer. You're a beautiful woman. You're a dear friend. You're such an inspiration. You put your heart behind everything you do, and you make the world a better place. So thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Christina. I feel the same about you.
All right. Love you, girl.
Love you too.
And so ends another episode of The Wealthy, Wealthy Life. This was one more millionaire strategy that will make you wealthy while keeping you healthy. Before I leave, remember that if you want to get it all together, then make sure to sign up for a free online training session at howto.money. You will learn my signature formula for transforming your life from debt to multimillionaire. It's already helped thousands of others, and it can help you too. And it's the only money-making system that makes your health your number one asset. So if you're curious how it all works, visit howto.money and sign up today. Remember, it's free, so why not invest some time in learning how to money? Again, that's howto.money, howto.money. As always, be sure to subscribe to this podcast to make sure that you catch next week's Millionaire Strategy. Signing off, this is Christina Wise, your personal guide to having it all. Here's to living a wealthy, wealthy life. I'll see you next time.